It's Mark Yeagy here, wealth architect and lifestyle investor. Let's take your life to the next level. Welcome to the Wealth Architect Podcast.
Hey, everybody, it's Mark Yeagy. Welcome to another edition of the Wealth Architect Podcast. Glad you're here. Today, we have a founder and financial advisor at Maven Lane Financial Group. Her career spans over 20 years in financial services, transitioning to financial advising in 2009. Good timing, right? And she's the author of the Amazon bestseller, Your Money Narrative, which delves into how personal experiences shape financial behaviors and decisions. As she worked on her own money narrative, she helped her clients do the same with a mission to build lasting legacies through effective financial decision-making and strategies. I'm going to say hello to Amy Cook. Hi, Amy. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Mark. Thanks for having me.
So good to have you. So you are kind of a financial planning guru. How did you get into that? And you know, tell us how you got into that and began your journey in 2009 of all years.
Yeah, so I was working in the mortgage business in the early 2000s. And I switched over to this side in 2009 when I moved to the Bay Area. Really what happened was I felt like in the mortgage business, I was working in a very reactive basis. And as you know, that didn't end well. And I saw an opportunity to get over on the other side of things in a proactive way. And it just seemed that there were so many simple shifts that could be made that would make such a difference from a planning component. So I decided to get into this side of the business, and the rest is history.
You like it?
I love it. I mean, I always say, you know, working in financial planning with my clients, I mean, no one has learned more than I have personally, because I've had the benefit of being, you know, immersed in this stuff every day. And so I'm thinking about it all the time. I get to hear other people's stories, work with them. And then I also work, you know, have worked on myself and my own, you know, my own narratives and my own financial life. And so it's really been a cool journey.
That's great. That's great. So take us through, you know, what kind of clients you do deal with, and what makes you special in doing financial planning for your clients?
Well, I mean, there's so many people that do what I do. And, you know, I would say I'm not a good fit for everyone. Everyone's not a good fit for me. I've been so lucky with the clients that I have worked with. And a lot of my clients, you know, they're just regular people, you know, with regular jobs, or they're running businesses, and they just want someone kind of walking with them to help with those financial decisions, you know, as they work through their goals. And that's really what I do. I am in the Silicon Valley, but it doesn't mean that I'm working with all, you know, ultra wealthy people. Usually, you know, there's people still have some fear around certain areas of their picture, or, you know, uncertainty. And so that's my goal, is to help diffuse that.
Right. And so what do you specialize in a specific type of client, a high net worth or family office, just in general? And what is your approach for those people?
Yeah. So I have a lot of, you know, executives, small business owners, couples, you know, really ideally, if we have at least 10 years left until retirement, there's more time to make changes and do things versus someone who's wanting to retire next month, you know, that comes to see me. So I have a lot of retired clients. I have a lot of multi-generational clients where I've got, in some cases, four generations that I work with. So I love that. And forgetting the second part of your question, it was...
What's your approach to helping?
My approach, so financial planning, really. I mean, ideally, we start with the plan and we look at the whole picture, because then it exposes the gaps, and it's a lot simpler, really, to attack things when we know what we're doing, why we're doing it, what's not working, what is working. Not everyone comes in and wants to dive into that, you know, comprehensive start, but that's ideally how I work with my clients.
So how do you let's get into the meat of it a little bit. What happens when the market crashes? What's your approach then?
What's my approach when the market crashes?
Yeah. So a lot of people are telling me, hey, Mark, you know, the market's going to crash. I don't want to be invested in the stock market. And, you know, so we can answer the question of maybe you should be invested, even though the market may crash. You don't know if it's going to crash. But what happens if it does crash? How do you handle that? Because we had a big crash in 2008. We had a bear market in 2022. How do you plan for those kinds of things?
I mean, I don't have a crystal ball. So obviously, you know, there's a lot of talk all the time about the market doing things. I think it's really important not to be reactive to that.
Yeah.
And really part of what we do as advisors is to talk to our clients to not react and just sell out of the market, and, you know, because something comes up on the news or you think something's going to happen. And I don't have it in front of me, but I know, and you probably, you know a lot about this with your background, but there's a lot of data around reacting at the wrong times that can screw things up far more than, you know, not getting a higher return over time.
Got it. So you just basically kind of go in, you set up a plan based on age, investment psychology and disposition. And then, you know, you kind of weather the storm. If the market goes down, it goes down. If the bond market goes down.
I mean, everyone's different, right? So risk tolerance is a big component with investing. And so even if I may tell you, you know, you've got X amount of years, you can afford to be aggressive. If you are not an aggressive person, then that doesn't mean that that's a good fit for you. Because I think that you have to be comfortable with whatever strategy, you know, you're going with, and knowing that, you know, the market is going to go up, the market is going to go down. We are going to, you know, that's just the volatility of what it is, you know, preparing for that by way of, you know, risk tolerance and just kind of having different things in different buckets is the way that I approach that.
So I put together, we do training courses for people on how to invest using, you know, the stock market as a primary vehicle for passive income and breakout investing. And I've had this client for several years, and this person decided that, you know, she was listening to the news too much, right? So she said, the market's going to crash. So she kept saying the market's going to crash, and that kept her out of the market, kept her primarily in CDs, right? And, you know, CDs are paying a little more than they were, you know, now than they were paying in 2009 for sure. But, you know, with a 4.5% or 5% or 5.5% rate and inflation's at 11%, what do you tell that client that's been sitting on the sidelines, sitting in cash or CDs? What do you tell that person, like, to get off the, you know, the ledge and, you know, really sit down and get a financial plan put together?
Well, I think that sometimes we have to, you know, if we look at a chunk of money as just one chunk of money, then that becomes a problem. Well, I might retire in 5 years, or I might need to, you know, remodel my kitchen next year. And I think dividing it out and really looking at it, how much are you really going to need? How much of this are you really going to potentially use in the next 12 to 24 months? And then doing something like that, but then looking at the different chunks of, or, you know, positions as different kind of time frames, you know, the laddering effect of saying, well, it's highly unlikely that you're going to spend all of your money, because we'd have more problems, you know, than just what the investment vehicle is in the next, you know, year. So why don't we take this piece and be a little more aggressive and you know, take different approaches with different parts of it.
Got it. Makes total sense. Hey, it's Mark Yeagy here to tell you about our Cash Flow Machine trading program that's designed to teach you how to make safe, reliable income. Now, we shoot for 2-4% a month of income and growth in your portfolio. And we have courses to teach you how to do this yourself or inside a mastermind community. And the best part of that is it only takes about 20 minutes a week to implement. Now, while 2-4% a month doesn't sound like much, I show you exactly how we took my IRA from $111,000 to over $500,000 in just 19 months without huge risk. I'm not telling you this to brag, just to show you that you could do this too. So to learn more about this program, go to cashflowmachine.io. That's cashflowmachine.io, and you can learn more. Makes total sense. Let me put you on the spot. What do you think of gold, and what do you think of Bitcoin?
So So one of the things with me being on these podcasts, I do have a broker dealer, and so they're super strict around getting into specific types of investments. But I can say around crypto that, the regulation around that, it is not something that I work with.
Yeah, that's not something you want to even talk about. Is there a place for it in the portfolio? Is that something you could talk about?
I mean, if it's not personally, I don't invest in it. And, I think that there's a lot around that we don't know yet. So I tend to be a little bit more conservative.
Yeah. And what about the international markets? Do you delve into, international exposure for your clients as well?
Sure. I mean, there's a place for that. Definitely.
Okay, cool. So what would you say if somebody, and I know you want to talk, we could probably talk about this concept of financial narrative, but what would you say somebody's, just kind of starting out, what would be the thing? You don't have to obviously go into specific investments, but what would be two or three action items that they could take to get the momentum going, to get their financial planning life in order?
Yeah, well, so first of all, I would want to make sure that they have an emergency fund in place.
Good.
Because, we don't want to invest money into a retirement account or an investment account that you might need to grab at in the near future. So making sure that you have that emergency sum of money, which, a guideline would be 3 to 6 months of living expenses set aside. That would be number one. Other factors like debt and things like that aside, let's say they have no debt. I think that just doing it, I mean, people sit on the sidelines and they'll build cash and they won't know what to do with it. And then they're afraid to do something with it and they don't meet with anyone to help them do something with it. And over time, it really corrodes the corpus, by doing nothing. So there is such a thing as having too much cash. And that's to your point earlier, talking about the fixed positions and, yeah, it might feel good to see that in the bank every day, whatever, surplus, but that money, it's not doing much for you. And even
going backwards.
Exactly. You're losing money. You're losing money. And the banks are not, there are a lot of high yield options now that we didn't have a few years ago. But the big banks are still, they're not going to call you up and tell you that they're not giving you anything on that money in your savings account, because most of them aren't. And so a lot of people have not looked at that or looked at what that adds up to by not even having it in a high yield savings account.
That's so true. It's a crazy thing. And I think it starts from the fact that we just don't educate people financially. And I don't know about you, but I use money every single day. And so I think I should know a lot about it. I put out a video a few weeks ago now on my YouTube channel, my subscription, my blog, those kinds of things. And it was about how I took a basket of goods from 2019 and compared it to today. And it came out to be an average of about 11.1% a year in inflation. And so that's like the baseline for me. Like if you don't make at least, I don't know about you, but my eggs are double or 80% higher than they were 5 years ago. Gas is higher. Rent is higher, mortgages are higher, everything seems to be higher and a lot higher. So if you're not getting a minimum rate, and it isn't 2 or 3% like the Fed tells us, if you're not getting 11%, you're not even going, keeping, your head above water. So you've got to kind of get ahead of that, I believe. And so how do you put together a portfolio for somebody when, I know because I used to be a financial planner and the traditional was, let's diversify among a basket of assets and, get an average rate when that average rate might not even be keeping up with inflation anymore. How do you juice the return a little bit to get that?
Well, I mean, that's tough. I mean, it's we do want to have that balance because some people are not okay with stomaching, heavy exposure into one area. If things are working out well, everyone's happy. The second that things are not working, then all of a sudden it's like, what is this? What am I in? What am I, So, I mean, we have to have balance and it hasn't worked the way it should, in some of the recent years, as with fixed income versus equity markets, in working in it sort of an opposite way with, the bond markets kind of not so great there for a few years, but you know, it's just monitoring it, taking a look at the strategy, having other assets outside of, you know, just investments. I mean, around here, you know, the real estate is crazy. And a lot of people have a good chunk of their net worth tied up in their real estate positions, which is great, but it's hard from a planning standpoint because we can't use that money unless we sell the property.
Right.
So, you know, just monitoring, reviewing, and, you know, making sure that we're doing what we can, you know, to get ahead of it, of what's going on. You know, that's really what we do.
Makes sense. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. So let's talk about this concept that you want to talk about called the money narrative. That's, and how does that affect your financial future for people?
I mean, money narratives are really just about the stories that we kind of bring into our adult life.
Yeah.
And they can be positive or negative. I mean, some money narratives are really good. Some of us learned really strong things as kids around money and being comfortable with it and taking the right types of risk and understanding that. But then others did not. And so, and there's a lot of people who don't talk about money in their households. And so you kind of grow up with that and then you take what you know and you start making your own financial decisions. And it's really just about kind of looking at that and questioning it. If things aren't really working the way that you want them to, what are you bringing to the table that you may not know that you're bringing to the table? And are these solid feelings that you have around investing in stocks and bonds or investing in real estate or taking, you know, this risk or that, are they things that you should really take a second look at and question?
Yeah. So how do people find out a little bit more about you? You seem to have a pretty darn good handle on financial planning and stuff that you've gotten in the last 15 years. That's great. And you seem like you really care for your customers and you want to get into their world. How do people find out how to work with you and where do they go?
Yeah, so my website, MavenLaneFinancialGroup.com. And then we have a page, Mark. So MavenLaneFinancialGroup.com/WAP. And yeah, so there's a website for the book too, yourmoneynarrative.com. I've got some checklists on there. Some of them are free to download that kind of walk you through different life change stages, like we talked about earlier, getting started, budget worksheets. And I also have some worksheets on, you know, divorce and you know, loss of a spouse and, you know, changing jobs and things like that.
Great. Great. Good. Okay. We'll have all those links linked up in the show notes, but what one final thing would you like to leave our audience with?
I would just leave the audience with, you know, if there's, you know, take a couple steps this year. I mean, don't try not to get overwhelmed with, you know, the 20 things you need to do and just focus on one or two and, you know, time flies by. And then as you go back and you review, you'll see that you're checking things off the list, you know, and I think we all have to just learn not to be so hard on ourselves because we're going to screw up, but we're going to learn from it. And then we're going to grow over time.
That's perfect. Let's end on that. Thank you so much, Amy Cook, for being a part of the Wealth Architect Podcast. Great to have you on today.
Thank you, Mark. It was fun.
And for those of you listening and watching, thanks for tuning in. I always say, never give up your power in your health, your wealth, or your time. See you next time on the next Wealth Architect Podcast. Take care.
You've been listening to the Wealth Architect Podcast with Mark Yeagy. Follow us on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Like and subscribe on YouTube. Share and tell your friends. See you soon.